Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Reading Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always military incentive rebates on all new 2023 and 2024 Kias at Reading Kia. Test drive a new 2024 Kia Telluride today. Reading Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
What does it mean for me to lead by example? You're inviting the students into a certain kind of an intellectual life. If you're not modeling that intellectual life yourself, if you don't seem like a good example of the kind of thing they want to become, then, you know, your instructions, your directions to them in the classroom are going to be dead in the water.
This is your host, Scott Bertram, and welcome to a special Veterans Day edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. That's Patrick Whalen. He's Operations Assistant to the President at Hillsdale College, also served as an officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. He'll talk with us today about a recent essay he's penned, Why Veterans Make Good Teachers. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott. Good to be here.
What do you believe veterans bring to the table that makes them exceptional teachers inside the classroom?
So, Scott, I should start with a big caveat, which is to say that, you know, there are as many different kinds of veterans as
sure.
There are different kinds of people. And so it's a headline. It's a generalization for sure. But what I think if, you know, for example, if you were to take this from the perspective of a parent sending your kid to school, I think there are some things that you could expect your average veteran to have experienced in the military that would translate or could translate really well into the classroom. So if you just think about what is your kind of basic military training consist of, well, it's going to be a lot of physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's going to be a lot of working as a member of a team. There's going to be a lot of work on developing leadership ability. There's also, and you know, for the teachers out there, I think this will resonate. There's also a ethos of operating in resource constrained environments
mm-hmm.
where you have to improvise, adapt, overcome.
How do you think leadership skills specifically, perhaps that veterans gain in the military, translate to the classroom?
Yeah. So I actually think, you know, there's a quote from a famous Marine Corps general, a guy named General John A. Lejeune, who was a commander of the Marines that were involved in World War I. And he was very influential in the development of kind of the leadership philosophy of the Marine Corps. And he said that the relationship between an officer and his men is the same as a teacher and his scholars. And I think in my experience, at least as an officer in the military, but then also as a teacher and a headmaster of a school, I found that very much to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Those, you know, there are a lot of things that it takes to lead well. It's not barking orders and getting people to perform just, you know, whatever you tell them to when you tell them to. There's this kind of elaborate cultivation of a relationship. You've got to build rapport. You've got to establish credibility. And all of those things, I think, sometimes teachers, because it's such an obvious position of authority, it's easy for teachers to lose sight of the fact that actually we're engaged in this odyssey together.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to build rapport. I've got to establish credibility. I've got to lead by example. And for example, for a teacher to think of what does it mean for me to lead by example? It might not be that you're doing the essays that you're assigning the students to write. But it does mean, for example, if you're inviting the students into a certain kind of an intellectual life, if you're not modeling that intellectual life yourself, if you don't seem like a good example of the kind of thing they want to become, then your instructions, your directions to them in the classroom are going to be dead in the water.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Patrick Whalen, his essay in the Dallas Morning News, Veterans Make Good Teachers, Let's Get More of Them in Our Classrooms. You discuss this Troops for Teachers program. What does it do and how does it help get veterans in the classroom?
So on the national level, what will happen for veterans transitioning out of the military into civilian life? That's, you know, oftentimes these guys are going into the military at 18 years old. In some places you can do 17 with your parents. So you might be hitting the civilian workforce for the first time as a 22-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so that program, Troops to Teachers, is really something that you're going to encounter in their last couple months mm-hmm. on active duty in the military, where you're going to be – it's essentially a mentoring program or a providing these veterans with the resources. How do I become a teacher in my home state? And it'll, you know, provide them a list of resources. There is a particular program that's new and that's one of the most aggressive in the country in Florida called the Military Veterans Certification Pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And that one really takes the national program and beefs it up considerably. So in that program, you actually don't have to have a bachelor's degree in hand in order to obtain a teacher certification. You have to have 60 credits. There are a series of requirements. You have to complete your bachelor's degree. You have to be on a path toward completion. But essentially, as long as you meet these wickets, you can be certified to teach on a 5-year temporary certificate in the state of Florida based on the credential of having served honorably in the military.
We're told that there's a teacher shortage in many places across the country. If that is the case, why is there even some controversy about Troops to Teachers? And why do you have to write an essay called Veterans Make Good Teachers, Let's Get More in the Classrooms?
Well, there are pros and cons to this. I think the negative take on this is that there are some negative stereotypes around veterans, right? And so you can imagine imagine a drill instructor or a drill sergeant in the classroom, and, mm-hmm. and that would be easy to stereotype as something perhaps that we don't want. In terms of addressing the kind of the broader conversation, I think a lot of teachers they value their profession. They think that they went through all these steps in order to achieve the certificate that allows them to teach. They struggle with compensation, struggle with career advancement. And so I think there's the possibility for some resentment to occur. And what I would like to do is kind of shift the conversation to saying, okay, listen, if you value the profession, if this is meaningful work and if those kids are worth it, if like that next generation and cultivating, you know, great people in the next generation, if that's worth it, then we should be interested collectively. All of us should be interested in getting the best folks and giving them the opportunity. And I think programs like this, I'm not in the weeds on the policy and the particulars of this program, but it seems on the surface like it's an invitation to folks who have demonstrated a certain kind of excellence, folks that we might want our kids to be like.
Mm-hmm.
It's an invitation. Let's make this easy to put you in a position to lead and teach these kids.
So you discussed this Florida program a little bit on a policy level. What more do you think can be done to help facilitate the introduction of more veterans into the classroom?
So I actually think that many veterans don't think of teaching as an obvious career path. And one of my interest in writing this article was actually, especially as a veteran and somebody who's founded and run a school, telling the story back to those who are in the military, who are in leadership roles, especially small unit leadership. You know, if you're a squad leader, you're a troop leader or your troop commander, and you have that high human contact role and responsibility, making sure that those folks have heard from somebody like them who's been in those situations, but also who's crossed over into civilian education world, that this is not just a reasonable fit, but this is like a really good fit. This is a great way for you to take all the best things about, you know, in many cases, the things you enjoyed most about the military, which is that ability to teach, train, mentor, lead these young people. Education, transitioning into teaching in the civilian world, is one of the best professions that allows you to kind of continue those abilities.
Patrick Whalen is the writer of this essay, Veterans Make Good Teachers, Let's Get More of Them in Our Classrooms. You can find it at the Dallas Morning News. He is Operations Assistant to the President here at Hillsdale College, a Marine Corps veteran and founder of a boys' boarding school in Kansas. Patrick Whalen, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
Up next, we talk with Tom Cotter, Professor Emeritus at Hillsdale College, about his book, War and Remembrance, The Story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Laup's Landscape Supply at 6023 Turn Creek Road offers a wide variety of products for all areas of your yard or landscape. Whether it's bark or soils, gravel, a retaining wall, U-cart concrete, sod, pond supplies, erosion control, and much more. You'll find it at Laup's Landscape Supply, a proud sponsor of Operation Holiday Salute, to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces this holiday season. Laup's Landscape Supply, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center, Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Harvest savings and decorate your home for the fall with unique decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage on Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features unique antique tablecloths, napkins and runners, placemats, silverware and serving trays, plates and glassware to decorate your Thanksgiving table in style. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back to a special Veterans Day edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at podcast.hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Dr. Tom Connor, Professor Emeritus of History here at Hillsdale College, and discussing his book, War and Remembrance, The Story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. Dr. Connor, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
It's an incredible book. Tell us first, what is the American Battle Monuments Commission? Why, in your mind, why was this book needed?
Well, the American Battle Monuments Commission is an agency, one of the smallest, I dare say, of the federal government. And its mission is to, well, upon its creation in 1923, its mission was to establish permanent burial grounds, overseas war cemeteries, at the end of World War I, and all of them at the end of that war were in Europe, six in France, one in England, and one in Belgium. And then at the end of the Second World War, 14 new cemeteries had to be created over a much broader geographic area. But the American Battle Monuments Commission, the ABMC, also at the end of World War I, created 11 monuments that were apart. Often they're near the cemeteries, but they're apart in distance from the cemeteries to commemorate the efforts of the American Expeditionary Forces, the soldiers, both those who died and those who survived, who fought in the war. At the end of the Second World War, the cemeteries themselves were kind of all-inclusive. They're called cemetery memorials, in fact, for the Second World War. So there's not, there aren't another dozen or so major monuments outside the cemeteries for the World War II effort. Although there are smaller plaques and monuments scattered all over the world, most of them have been created in the last 40 or 50 years as compared to the last 60 or 70. So it's an agency whose mission is remembrance, and it's designed to foster remembrance on the part of the American people and anybody who visits the sites, remembrance of the sacrificial efforts that the country and its soldiers have made to the defense of freedom around the world.
How does the, for lack of a better word, the infrastructure at these sites work? In my mind, I think of, you know, like foreign consulates, it becomes U.S. So is this still the soil of the country in which the monuments are? Who takes care of the upkeep? How does that happen?
Well, there are two administrative offices for the agency. One is in Arlington, Virginia, in the Washington area. And that's where the commission meets. The commission actually... it's two things. It's an agency, but it's also an 11-member board that is kind of like a board of trustees or an oversight board. There's a chairman of the commission and also a secretary of the commission, both presidential appointees, and their headquarters are in Washington. There's a European office or an overseas office outside of Paris, and since so many of the cemeteries are in Europe, a lot of the more direct administration occurs out of that office. But then each cemetery has a superintendent. Many of them also have assistant superintendents. And in Normandy, which is the most visited of all of our cemeteries, there's quite a staff. There's a director of visitor services, and there are probably seven or eight administrators, all American. The administration of the cemetery is all done by Americans. But the work of maintenance is done by overseas host nationals, citizens of the host countries. And that's one of the unique features of the agency itself. There are a little over 400 employees, but the overwhelming majority of them are foreigners, and yet they're paid by the American government. The cemeteries and monuments are all on foreign soil, but the soil is not considered American. The Americans occupy the ground, obviously. They possess it, if you will, which is to say, by agreement, they're allowed to make whatever use they want to of the territory that the cemeteries and monuments occupy, so long as they are, those territories are used as cemeteries and war memorials. But it's not considered American soil, because if it were, then there would be complications. For example, asylum seekers might come, and if there were an emergency, local law enforcement might have difficulty gaining access. These arrangements go all the way back to the very beginning.
Dr. Tom Connor with us, his book, War and Remembrance. You've been to many, if not all. I don't want to overstate your claims here, but what is it like to visit one of these locations overseas?
Yeah, there are 22 World War I and World War II cemeteries. There are three or four that have been added to the caretaking mission of the ABMC since 1945 in such places as the Philippines, Mexico. I have not visited those, but of the 22 World War I and World War II sites, I've been to 20 of them. I've not been to the World War II cemeteries in Tunisia or in the Philippines. But it's an incredible experience. And so the sadness is an important ingredient of one's response, too. But there's another element. The total number of visitors to each one of these sites in any given year is only in the minority Americans because they're so far from home. And one of the sad things, something I'm hoping the book will address, but one of the sad things is that so few Americans actually know about the existence of the American Battle Monuments Commission or the sites that they're responsible for. And to visit these places and see how people who to us are foreigners, but who are actually the host nationals of these places, see how they react to them, how much they still, years after each of these wars has ended, how much they revere and honor these sites and how actively they express their gratitude. That's also very moving as well.
You knew a lot heading into the project. You did a lot of research. What was the most surprising thing? What surprised you in the course of doing the research for this book?
I think I'm not sure, Scott, that anything really just flat out surprised me. I mean, I obviously learned a lot that I had never known before. But one of the things that impressed me the most was the role of some of the greatest soldiers in American history, the role who enjoyed leadership positions in the American Battle Monuments Commission. John J. Pershing was the first chairman, for example. He served for 25 years, the last 25 years of his life. George C. Marshall was the second chairman of the ABMC, who served in that role for 10 years, following upon the death of General Pershing in 1948. General Jacob Devers, General Mark Clark, General P.X. Kelly, all the way down to the present, some of the most prominent and in terms of leaders of men and role they played on the field of battle, some of the greatest generals we've ever produced found a way to continue serving their country by leadership in this agency. That was really wonderful to see. I learned a ton about General Pershing that I never knew before, and he is one of the most esteemed historical figures in my own historical galaxy, you might say, as a result. General Marshall, no less than that.
That's Dr. Tom Connor, Professor Emeritus of History at Hillsdale College. His book is War and Remembrance, The Story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. Dr. Connor, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Been a pleasure, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Up next, we talk with Peter Jennings, a professor at Hillsdale College, also served as an infantry officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. We'll speak with him about leadership, service, and the book Once an Eagle. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. North Valley Distributing, serving both the electrical and electronics industries, a one-stop shopping experience. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. 530-222-1500. Proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at only $11. They make great stocking stuffers and are excellent gifts for those who are a little hard to shop for. Choose from four different car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free. Or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back to a special Veterans Day edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to follow us on X, formerly Twitter, for updated show and guest information. We're at Hillsdale Radio. We're joined by Dr. Peter Jennings, Associate Professor of Leadership Studies and Broward D. and Jane E. McIntyre Chair in Business Administration. He also served as an infantry officer in the United States Marine Corps. Dr. Jennings, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And we talked today about a book. It's a big book.
Yes, sir.
It's called Once an Eagle by Anton Meyer. And you consider it to be our great American military epic.
Yep.
Why do you say so? Why do you think that?
Well, it's a big book, so I guess it's an epic. It has to be a big
meets
book,
the definition.
A long book. as a military guy, this is a book that's had enormous influence over the American military since it was published in 68. Its influence has waned a little bit, I think, in the last decade, but it was certainly hugely influential to me. I think my take is this is the American Iliad. This is our Iliad, an epic of great significance in that sense. And I think that for a few different reasons. First of all, it's a book, and if it's going to be a book of any worth, it's got to be a great read.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of a simple entry point into this, but it's just a great story. It's a great read. I think of it in movie or video terms. This book captures my imagination, my military imagination, the same way Saving Private Ryan did in the movies, or that series Band of Brothers. The way those videos, those movies capture your imagination, just great stories. Once an Eagle is like that. So I think that's a requisite and ante if it's going to be a great book. But more seriously, in terms of why I think this is an epic, and what I mean by that is it has some greater cultural significance to us. The topic, it's about war. War is a subject of enormous human importance. It's been with us from the beginning. It'll be with us till the end, for sure. And it deals seriously, substantively with this topic. It teaches some important truths about war, I think. Third reason I think this is specifically an American epic is it deals with an especially important period in our American military history, from just before World War I to the early years of Vietnam, a period of time where the American military really grew up, came of age in World War I, achieved a measure of greatness in World War II, and then withered and declined in the Vietnam era. So it covers that span, which is an important period in American history. And I think the final thing that makes this an epic is it tells this great story of the American military through this important period of time, primarily through two characters, really compelling characters, who, this is where I get the Aeneid analogy. If the two main characters in the Aeneid are Hector and Achilles, well, in this book, we have Sam Damon and we have Courtney Massengale, and they're loosely analogous to Achilles and Hector. They're very compelling characters that capture your imagination, and through these characters, they drive the narrative that pulls you in, that takes you along through this incredible story of the American military in this vital period of time.
Before we find out a bit more about those characters, you've taught a course on this book. You recommend it for Hillsdale students who are interested in military service. What is that main differentiator between Once an Eagle and the other military books that are out there?
Yeah, well, I certainly wouldn't teach this to the exclusion of many others, but this is, for me, for this informal little military program that I'm a part of here. We have a significant body of students that are interested in pursuing commissions in the armed forces after they graduate, and we don't have an ROTC program. So myself and a couple other professors teach classes that help our students prepare for military, for commissioning. A lot of what these students will learn in their military training once they commission is technical.
Mm-hmm.
Technical knowledge and skill. They got to be competent. They got to learn their jobs as an infantry officer, artillery, whatever it is. That's really important. And a lot of their early military training that they get as officers focuses on technical competence, knowledge, and skill. Vitally important. But what gets lost in their career, especially with their anxiety to learn their jobs, to not screw up, to do well, is they lose something that I think is fundamentally important to being an American military officer. And it's this question of what does it mean to actually be? Not do. Be an American. What is distinctive? What is the distinctive oath, ethos, the norms, the values, the commitments, the principles that should guide and govern the character of an American military officer? And I use this book because it highlights very sharp contrasts of a good officer and a bad officer, very different concepts of what it means to be an officer and the character of an American military officer. And it helps students, I use the book to help students cultivate a vision for themselves as an American military officer.
Talking with Dr. Peter Jennings about the book Once an Eagle. So tell us about our main characters here, Sam Damon and Courtney Massengale, who help us move the story forward. Where do we see the contrasts between these two?
The contrasts jump out right in their names. Courtney Massengale, Sam Damon. Sam Damon's the good Midwestern Nebraska farm kid. He's got a nice solid name with those Midwestern values. Courtney Massengale, East Coast guy from privilege. So right there, just a simple contrast just in the names right there. But on a more serious level, there's two points to make about the names. The first, on a more substantive level, the contrast comes in their concepts of their career, how they envision their careers, their ambition, fulfilling their, they're both ambitious guys. They're both talented. They're both smart. They're ambitious. And they want to be successful officers. But their whole concept of what does it mean to be a military officer, their concept of their career is very different. Courtney is a politician, a careerist. He's into politics and playing the power game and climbing the ladder that way. Sam, you know, Midwestern Nebraska guy, is a yeoman officer. He works. He's in the field. He's your there's a contrast in the book between line and staff. Sam Damon is your line officer who's in the field with his soldiers fighting, living in the conditions that, and he proves himself to be a great hands-on American troop leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed to the mission, committed to troop welfare, leads from his front, sets an example, and he's in the thick of it, right? So that's one exemplar of a military officer. And then Courtney's a staff guy. And he's not in the field, but he's playing the staff politics and trying to climb that way. That's kind of a superficial description, but that's the sharp contrast right there.
So what does Once an Eagle want to tell us about these characters who have similar goals, similar concept of what they want from their careers, but have different paths and pay different prices to reach that goal?
I think there are a number of themes or lessons I think Meyer's trying to convey in the book, and we may want to talk a little bit about his background. This isn't history; it's historical fiction.
Right.
So it's fiction, but it's historical. It's grounded in history, but it's fiction, and he's trying to tell a compelling story here with some lessons. I think there are a number of different lessons. One is just about war. And Meyer has a very dark, pessimistic, cynical view of war. And I think the second main lesson is about the people who fight wars, the war fighters. And not all the war fighters are good, like Massengale. I think Meyer has particular contempt for people like that. But he has a great admiration and respect for the guys that do the dirty work of fighting our wars, like Sam Damon,
mm-hmm.
and their goodness, their virtue, their simple but important virtues of duty and honor and loyalty and courage. And so I think the two main lessons, the 1-2 punch I take from the book is let's not romanticize war. And Meyer's very clear. This is a very anti-war book. He thinks war is a awful, destructive thing that's a product of human vainglory and pride and folly. That's a very clear message in the book. But also it's a very clear message that he has great admiration for those men and women who do our dirty work for us, who pick up the rifle and go get the job done that has to be done at great sacrifice.
We'll pause there and continue the conversation next with Peter Jennings, Associate Professor of Leadership Studies and Chair in Business Administration here at Hillsdale College. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center, Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always military incentive rebates on all new 2023 and 2024 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a new 2024 Kia Telluride today. Redding Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
We're back on a special Veterans Day edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We continue our conversation now with Peter Jennings, Associate Professor of Leadership Studies and Brower D. and Jane E. McIntyre Chair in Business Administration at Hillsdale College. We speak about leadership, service, and the book Once an Eagle. There are leadership lessons here in Once an Eagle as well. How do we learn about selfless versus self-serving leaders?
Yeah, so there are a lot of, throughout the book, there's a lot of scenarios, if you want to call it that, that are great for discussions with the students about good and bad leadership, examples of each. And with Sam, you find many good examples. And a lot of those examples, I think primarily the best examples, and this is another reason why it's good for students who are commissioning for the junior tactical level officer. There's a lot of great little scenarios that you can discuss with your students at a tactical level, troop leading level, sergeant, lieutenant, squad leader, platoon commander kind of level, whether it's tactical combat situations or garrison or, you know, other situations. There's just all kinds of things you can dissect and talk about with your students to illustrate the leadership principles we learn in the Marine Corps or the military about taking responsibility, leading from the front, setting an example, completing a mission, that kind of thing, and all the traits. And then there's a lot of bad examples throughout the book as well. Many of those are Courtney Massengale and the careerism, the politics, and a lot of that is the thorn in the side of military careers. It's always been there, the politics, that part of it. So there's just scenario situations throughout the book that are great little discussion situations with your students to kind of analyze and peel them apart and get down to the underlying values and commitments that are governing how these various officers or soldiers are dealing with situations.
You mentioned earlier the book also is a reflection, can be a reflection on how the U.S. military grew and changed along with the country during this time period of World War I through Vietnam. Is there a lamentation here that perhaps there are fewer Sam Damons? I'm sorry, fewer Sam Damons, more Courtney Massengales as time goes on, at least in this time period?
When I read the book, I do get a sense of innocence lost. You know, we grew up as a country, as almost a fledgling, aspiring professional military in World War I to really achieving a level of greatness in World War II, and then falling off in Vietnam, and in my generation, starting with the Gulf War, one of the things that we celebrated, whether it was fully deserved or not, was how we rebuilt and achieved and restored ourselves to the standard that had been set in World War II. There is in the book sort of that rise and fall kind of theme worked into it, and there is a sense of something lost. The world after World War II is far more bureaucratic, technological, complex, as opposed to the so-called, as we look back now, the simpler days. Mm-hmm. The days in when a man's physical presence and made a difference, and it was more important. You look at it today, I was just doing some work over the summer on Hillsdale College and Civil War, and vast majority of soldiers in Civil War were infantry, 80%+. Now that's reversed. More of us spend time behind computers, pounding keyboards, or doing other administrative technological things. And there's something, I think, in my reading of the book, there's perhaps it's just nostalgia on my part, but we've lost something. The more sedentary, technological, bureaucratic, organizational that we've become, we've lost touch with some of those basic, core, grounded, yeoman kind of virtues. Meyer shares that lamentation, too, in some separate interviews that he did on the book. Because he grew up at a time when he grew up with men like that, that could farm and fix things and build things and could hunt. And today we make fun of that rugged American individual. We ridicule it. I think we're fools to ridicule it. I think there's an important truth there in our history, in our tradition, in our heritage. That's another reason why I teach the book. The book gives us a glimpse into our heritage. And sort of like Moses in Deuteronomy, teaching the Israelites, teach, learn, don't forget this. Because when you forget, you're going to go astray. And in reading these books, I'm going on a little bit long here, but in the battle scenes in the book, are one of the book is celebrated for his descriptions of battle. And what you gain appreciation for is the human side of war. That at the end of the day, it's men, it's women, their blood, their sweat, their tears, in the ground, in insane conditions, who fight wars. And, all right, we have drones, and you can sit 2,000 miles away behind a keyboard and launch missiles. I don't know. I think at some point in time, we're going to need men and women who are willing to pick up a rifle, get in the dirt, and do the hard fighting. And we're going to need those rugged values that Sam Damon exemplifies. And God, I hope that we have young people who have them when we need them.
Talking with Dr. Peter Jennings about Once an Eagle. I want to come back to that point in a moment, but now might be a good time to ask about the author himself, Anton Meyer. What's his story? What should we know about him?
Yeah, I alluded to this a little bit earlier. He's a very interesting guy for me, not just because I'm a Marine and he is a former Marine. He was a Harvard College student before the war. And, I think kind of a middle-class kind of guy. He wasn't, part of the elite East Coast. But a middle and kind of an artistic bent. Obviously, he became an author after the war. But he's at Harvard and enjoying college life there before the war, a simpler, more romantic time. The war came, Pearl Harbor. It was something they all felt was coming, and it came, and he was part of that generation that volunteered, that enlisted. He wanted to get into an officer program. He was rejected, so he enlisted in the Marines. And I think he somewhat regrets that he did that. But he ended up an infantryman, was promoted to an NCO. He's a corporal, was involved in some of the island campaigns, was seriously wounded in Guam, eventually received a medical discharge honorably, and finished his education at Harvard and became an author after the war, wrote several books. And this is probably his most renowned, his greatest book. War, as you can imagine, not surprisingly, had a profound impact on him. And he admits he went in with what he describes as kind of a flamboyant perspective, perhaps a romantic view of war that a lot of young people have. and the brutal war in the Pacific shattered that. And he says he came out of that with a very cynical, pessimistic view that war is just an evil, cynical, corrupt thing. So he had a very dark view of war after his experience in the Marines. But as I mentioned earlier, he also saw some good in the war, specifically in the war fighters. Not all of them, mm-hmm. like the Martinet soldiers, he calls them, like Courtney Massengale. He had contempt for people like that. But the guys, I think a lot of the Marines he served with and some of the officers he served with, he saw the good in this cesspool of war. The good, I think of, Meyer doesn't make this analogy, but I make this analogy. His view of war is kind of like the cross. And for Christians, for biblical, we understand the cross as it symbolizes two things. The evil, the degradation, the corruption of humanity. The one innocent man, we kill him. War is like that. But in the cross, we also see the greatness, the goodness of humanity and Christ's humanity, who sacrifices his life for others. No love greater than that. I think that's what Meyer sees in war. He sees, he doesn't use this analogy, it's my analogy, but he sees the cross. He sees the evilness, the destructiveness, the vileness of humanity. And amidst that cesspool, you see the beauty, the glory, the goodness, that human beings actually can love the way Christ teaches us.
Dr. Peter Jettings, he is Associate Professor of Leadership Studies and Broward D. and Jane E. McIntyre Chair in Business Administration at Hillsdale College, also served as an infantry officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, as we talk about Once an Eagle by Anton Meyer. Dr. Jettings, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That will wrap up this Veterans Day edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Patrick Whalen, Tom Cotter, and Peter Jettings, all from Hillsdale College. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. The assistant producer of the program is Sam Lair. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the building we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.